honor to introduce. I know this young lady very well. She's out of Northern California. Her name is Jerry B. from California. And with further ado, here we go.
I'm Jerry B. I'm an addict. And first of all, I want to thank the convention committee for asking me to come out and share. And, you know, of course, I want to thank God before I thank anybody. God first and foremost, you know. And, you know, I was sitting over there thinking, you know, when I got this call, you know, so yeah, it's a midnight slot. And I said, well, can't you push the hours up a little bit or down a little bit or do something with it, you know? And but then, you know, as I thought more about that, I thought, what would have happened almost 19 years ago is when I crawled up into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous through God's grace and mercy, and you guys would have had a sign on the door that said, we went to take a nap. We'll be back later. We're going to sleep. Come back next week. Well, I'd have still been out there. You know, I would have said, oh, you know, they, oh, that's right, I didn't have a watch. So, no sense to come away to the East Coast Liar. I forgot I'd sold that watch. But, you know, so I'm grateful. I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm really honored that that you know you guys were thinking of me, that God would put this on your heart for you to call me. And even when He called me, because there's still been some things in my past, and this topic is talking about how do we make peace with our past. When He's asked, "Is it Jerry?" I paused. You know how we put that pause button on? Because you're trying to think, let's see, did I pay? Did I? So it's like, I'm sorry? Hello? No, hello? No, are we, the connection, hello, hello? And then, is it Jerry B? Well, when he says Jerry B, I know it's one of us. Oh yeah, this is me. You know, and he asked me to come out and share, you know, and so I can tell you that, you know, before I got here, there was absolutely no peace in my life, and really that's why I'm here today, because I had no peace in my life, you know, and it's been through working the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous and working with a sponsor, you know, and doing these steps over and over again that I'm slowly starting to get some peace. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so what I want to read you, and I'm glad it's out the Living Clean, you know, this Living Clean book, because I love this book. And it talks about there is no single easy answer to how we make peace with our past. And it rarely happens all at once. And so that's all I'm going to read out of that. And so I can tell you, for me, there was no easy way. You know, because, you know, I came up with a lot of guilt and shame and remorse. And because of my active addiction, the things that I had did in my addiction, such as to myself, to my family, and to society as a whole, I carried all that right into Narcotics Anonymous. You see, when I got here, the only thing I wanted to do, I just don't want to use dope. And that's what I told God. I talked to God just like I talked to you guys. I said, God, I don't want to shoot no more dope. I don't want to go to no more methadone clinics. I'm thinking now they're probably going to put me out of all of them. And I'm just tired of smoking crack because I'm a BC baby, right, before crack. Right. So I have a long history and I have a lot of past okay? And in that past was a lot of wreckage, okay? And like, it's when I got here, I didn't know I would have to be cleaning up all this stuff. I thought my only answer was, put down the outfit, throw away the pipe, don't go to the methadone clinic no more, and voila, I was cured. Okay? But I didn't know anything about feelings and cleaning up some stuff, you know, and cleaning up some past. And you know, I want to touch on that, man. It's like, you know, in the beginning, like when I first went through my first set of steps with my first sponsor, you know, and we went over the spiritual principles of forgiveness, being willing to forgive. You know, I was putting everybody, and to make the list, I was putting everybody on that list but me. And she said, Jerry, what about you? You know, because I had my list. Well, let me see, I screwed up so-and-so, I messed up so-and-so, I messed up so-and-so, I messed that up. I was in that country, I was in Canada. God knows what I did up there. And the list went on and on and on. But the literature says, most of all, we harmed ourselves. And so I had to go through that whole list again because I had done some harm to myself. You know, you don't, like I started using it at a real early age. I'm talking about way back in the day. I come up in the 50s and the 60s. That's why I know God is awesome. Because what you're looking at today, you didn't see in 95 when I got here. Okay? I'm, you know, my clean day is July the 9th, 1995. I'll be 61 years old in a few months. I'll be 19 years clean in less than 90 days. And that's through God's grace and mercy. You know? And, you know, so when I got here, man, I was a mess, you know. And, you know, I did what you guys told me. I got a sponsor and I started working the steps and started working on myself, you know, and the first step, you know, and I went through all this stuff. But then it was like, as I got further on into my recovery, there was still some things was coming up because our literature says more will be revealed, you know. And now how am I going to deal with all this? I know I don't want to use, but how the heck am I going to deal with this shit? You know, how am I going to do that? I had to go to my sponsor. I had to go to my God. You know, God has accepted me for who I am. I needed to accept myself on a deeper level. That was the bottom line, was I needed to accept me on a deeper level. When I went through my inventory, it talks about that we have assets. That was a big word for me. I never knew I had any assets. You know, I looked at myself when I was out there using, going in and out the penitentiary, leaving the kids with my mama, going to Canada to marry God knows what, to get $2,500. And my sponsor's here tonight, so she knows me. You know, that's part of my story. This is a cold disease we have. Like, I was a practicing addict, and I was offered $2,500 in the early 80s to go to Montreal, Canada, to marry whatever, and so he could get his immigration papers and come back to America. And, you know, when you're shooting dope and blowing methadone, this is BC, we go crack. $2,500 sound like I hit the Powerball, okay? And so, you know, this little 2-pound addict said yes. And I found myself in another country, and I was sick as a mad Russian. And I remember walking through, you know, we got off the airport, going through immigration and customs, and I almost collapsed. And the guy asked me that I flew with, what was wrong with me. So I'm still creating wreckage now. And what I did was I told him, I said, well, I just got a toothache. To me, that wasn't that big a lie, because if you You shooting dope for as many years as I did, it eats up the calcium in your body. So your teeth falling out, your hair going one way, your teeth going one way, your bones going another way. He brought back a bottle of pills, and he told me, just take one. Well, he told me they're real strong, okay? Now, I don't know about y'all in Ocean City, Maryland, but I know about me. Okay, strong is a magic word for a dope fiend. We don't care what language it's in. We don't care if it's in French, if it's in Arabic. We don't care. I read that bottle and it said codeine. And so I immediately called my mother back in America with my kids. And you talk about shame and guilt. I called my mother and I said, Ma, I'm never coming to America again. I'm going to give up my citizenship and become a Canadian citizen. And so, I need to tell you, my mother is 96 years old, and she is my heart. I adore my mother. She's very spiritual. She's probably in California praying right now. She prayed from sunup to sundown, God this and God that. But she got real spiritual on me. And she told me, I don't know what the, can I curse? What the F the fuck you doing up there in Canada, but you have 5 minutes to come get these kids. So that didn't work. So now I'm in another country, and I'm creating some more guilt and some more shame and some more remorse and some more crimes in another country, just like I did our country. And then when I came back, guess what had happened? That stuff that came out, y'all called crack. Okay? And see, when I left here, you know, the high rollers was freebasing. Okay? And you know, the pimps up and the hose down, and you know, they had a little powder and they had $100 bills rolled up. You know, and it looked at, it was acceptable. How cute. It was adorable. Okay? But when I came back, I swear to God, I thought I saw a priest smoking crack on BMO Street. But, so I didn't know. So I said it wasn't gonna bother me. But now, when I pick up this pipe, guess what? I'm really starting to create some damage, some guilt, some shame, all of this stuff. Because taking a hit off that pipe made me do some things I said I would never do. You know, so my past wasn't really pretty, you guys. You know, it wasn't really pretty. I was like leaving the kids with my mother and getting on the methadone program and, you know, and telling my mother, you know, Mom, okay now, you know, do the 21-day detox. And before that was over, I was already fixing again because where I come from in California, if you're on 21-day detox, you fix the first day. That's traditional. And I'm not one to break a tradition. Okay? So, by day 13, I was already off to the races again, right? And so, of course, my mother ended up keeping my kids. And so, you know, what my head told me at that time was, well, I'm not really hurting these kids because at least I'm not dragging them from the shooting gallery to the whole house, you know, at least they got a roof over their heads. But the bottom line was, when I got into recovery and started working the 12 steps, you know what? I did do some harm to my children. Also did some harm to myself. Also did some damage to myself. Because I need to tell you, I love my kids with all I got in me. And if I hadn't have been using, I would not have did that to my children. I got two daughters. My oldest is 43. My baby's getting ready to be 41. Them kids would have been stuck to me like a stamp to a letter. I'm serious, you know. But because of this disease, I pushed everybody that was close to me away from me. It was in the pen, out the pen, in the pen, out the pen. I applaud the people who ever went through a program. Thank God, that is just not my story. When I would get out the penitentiary, the judge would say, "You are back again." But I tell you what we're going to do this time. We're going to put you in the program. And I said, "Well, Your Honor, I just got out. Can't we do a little something on the outpatient?" He said, "Not you." So he locked me up and put me back in. He put me in the program. And after going to the program for about 10 minutes, I remember one time going in the program, listening to James Brown. By the time James Brown got through singing, "Please, Please, Please," I was already up, dressed, and back over on the west side of Fresno getting loaded again. So that's the end of the story of my program. So what it took for me was going to God. And my mother used to always tell me, she said, "You got to go to God. You know, you got to go to God." And you know, when we out there doing this life, that's the last thing we want to hear is God. She kept saying, "Just go to God." I said, "Mama, I'm going, but give me $20 to get to it." You know? And so, jeez. Go to God, go to God. "Okay, Mama, I'm going to go to God. But do you know how much money it costs to get to God? Just give me $20 and I'll get the Greyhound bus up to God." You know, and so, you know, so that was a lot of damage, man. That was a lot of stuff. And throughout that entire process, you guys, I say that and I laugh now because I've worked on myself. But throughout that, I felt like a dog. I felt like, how in the world could I do this to this woman who has took care of me no matter what, who has stood up for my kids when I wasn't able to be available for my kids, who would not let my kids go to the system. She stepped in and took over when she should have been enjoying her life. Okay, she was baking brownies, she was going to the PTA, she was doing all the things that, really, I really wanted to do that, but I couldn't get up off the block. I couldn't get up off the block, you know. And so, you know, this thing, man, this disease is real progressive. I hear people saying, you know, my disease is in the corner doing push-ups. Not my story. It's not mine. My disease is not healthy. It doesn't eat healthy. It doesn't go to 24-hour fitness. It smokes cigarettes. It talks to me. Okay? And it's just like that commercial Motel 6. It'll keep the lights on for you. Okay? So it ain't going nowhere. You know, and I'm real clear about that today. So early on in my recovery, like when I got here, you know, I remember my first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in Fresno. I remember on the 8th of July, and I never want to forget that, when I put everything down, when I went to my knees and I said, "God, please help me." And I remember the guy that was in my house, you know, and I remember telling myself I wasn't going to use that day no more, no matter what. I didn't know alcohol was a drug. I mean, they sold it in 7-Eleven. They sold it in the Safeway. I couldn't go to the Safeway and say, "Give me $50 of heroin and let me see, give me 20, make that 220s of crack." But I could go to the Safeway and say, "Give me a gallon of wine." So I didn't know alcohol was a drug. Thank God we changed the literature around here. You know? And so this guy came over to my house with a $60 in his hand and a 40 ounce. And you know, I went to the connection, and of course the prayer that I had said to God went out the window, and I was off to the races again. But guess what? I didn't know God was getting ready to intervene in my life. I had no idea. I thought, you know what? I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to tell him I'm married. And you got to go. I think I hear my husband. You women know how we do that. Ooh, that's my, wait a minute. That's my husband at the door. You got to go. And so what happened was, you know, I take a hit off this pipe and I hear this noise. And it was me. And I was crying. And all the years of me using and abusing my body, and all the shame and the guilt and the lies, everything that I had did in my past for over 30 years had came up. And when I got my breath, because I cried so hard until I had snot and boogers coming out my nose. And when I got my breath, I looked at him and I said, you got to go. You got to get out. Right now. Not 5 minutes from now, but you got to go right now. And I walked into my front door, and in my apartment, at my apartment, there was a field right, when you open the front door, was a fence and a field right there. And I had this tray that I had brought my mother a souvenir up in Canada, and I had all the paraphernalia on it. You know, like the broken pipe, the broken outfit, the razor blade that wouldn't cut your throat. You know, I had all that stuff that we have. You know what I'm saying? And I just opened the front door and I threw that tray across the fence over in the field. And you know what? I did not jump the fence to get it. I didn't jump the fence. Now, throughout my addiction, I've done that before, but guess what? Before my steps hit the ground, I didn't jump the fence. I'm from San Francisco. I'm a 49er fan, and they talking about Joe Montana and Dwight Clark with the catch. No, I did that shit. Before my shit hit the ground, I could go backhanded under my leg, this way, that way. My shit never hit the ground until the 8th of July of 1995. You know? And I remember coming back to my house, and by this time in my addiction, I had created so much wreckage, and I had worked throughout my addiction, but, you know, they came out with a program that, you know, it said, if you're a dope fiend, we'll give you a check. And that sounded good to all dope fiends in the world, and we all went to the Social Security office to sign up for checks. And just my luck, they told me no. And so what happened is I had to go back to work in the hotel industry. That's some more wreckage of the past. That's some more damage that I had done. Some more things I had to clean up when I got to recovery, you know. And I went back to work, and I worked for, well, I didn't work good, you know. Like, I just went there and stole the comforters and you know. And all my dope dealers had those little bitty bars of white soap. You know, I would give them the whole case, you know. Like, just take it. And so that's the way I was using, you know. You know, thank God for God. What I do want to tell you, once I got clean, I didn't go back to work for a year. I ended up, through God's grace and mercy, going back into the hotel industry, and I can tell you that every city and state that I have used in America, God put me back there to open up, not just work in, but to open up a hotel. And I retired from that as a district manager in 2005, you know. And so I know, so I was able to clean some things up there. So I went in being a good employee. I no longer stole their stuff. I retired as employee of the year. I retired with the governor of California, and one of our state senators was at my retirement party. you know. But it's still some more things going on. Like, I'm still dealing with some other issues. I did some step work with my sponsor yesterday, and it was deep. Man, when I got through with that shit, I was sweating. I was like, we finished? You know, because, I mean, my hair was plastered all down. I looked like I was Chinese. I had been crying and sweating, you know, but we got to the exact nature. Exact nature. You know what I'm saying? And then we also got to look at the part that, you know what? I am a good person. I would not have created all this mess if I hadn't have picked up just that one. You know, and so for that I'm forever so grateful, you know. So now, today what I'm doing is, you know, I done worked for parole. That's a big one. You know, I used to be on parole. I worked in the parole office. Now I'm working with veterans, you know. God just blessed me to get a promotion on that job where I'm an assistant property manager. So I don't have to go there and steal, you know. So it's an ongoing process how we, you know, how we make peace. But the biggest peace we gotta make is within ourselves. Because just know that if God can love us and forgive us, what right do we have walking around talking about, oh, I'm so ashamed, I'm so guilty, I don't forgive myself, when God got us here. So he loved me, and I needed to start loving myself. I'm grateful to this convention committee. I want to thank everybody for staying up so late. I was like, why ain't they going to bed? And so thank you for allowing me to share.